In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Contrary to what your bulletin says, I'm not Father Goodhart. We didn't catch the error in the bulletin until after they had been printed, and so I apologize for that mistake. We're in the midst of the beautiful season of Christmas. In today's gospel, we've now passed from Jesus' birth, however, all the way 12 years to the boy Jesus at the age of 12. It was the feast of the Passover, and the Holy Family traveled to Jerusalem to observe the feast. When it was over, they started the journey back home along with other relatives and friends. It was probably a very large group who had traveled with them. Mary and Joseph assumed that Jesus was with the group, but discovered after they had been gone for a whole day that he wasn't with them. Well, we aren't given many details. Luke is the only account of the gospel that includes this story, and this story is only 9 verses long. Furthermore, it's the only glimpse that we have in the accounts of the gospel of Jesus as he was growing up. Let's think a bit about Jesus. We know that he is fully human and fully divine. He's one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. We know he's obviously intelligent. Certainly Jesus was the epitome of the gifted child. And in this story, he's an adolescent. We don't know how he came to the realization of his calling, or exactly when it occurred. When Mary and Joseph caught up with him, he said, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" That certainly appears to be a sensing of his vocation at the age of 12. So Jesus finds himself in the temple along with some of the most devoted people of Israel, and he's drawn to these people. His mother and father, foster father, had prepared him well so that adults who were immersed in the faith were impressed by his knowledge. He'd found his niche. He was fully at home. Do you remember, those of you who aren't, do you remember when you were a teenager and you found something in your life that you could really sink your teeth into? Nothing else mattered. You'd found your true home. I suspect that something like this was going on with our Lord. He knew that he was strongly drawn to his heavenly Father, and that was all that mattered. We're also not given much information about what Mary and Joseph went through as they looked for their son. Mary said when she saw Jesus, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." Anxiously indeed. They'd looked for 3 whole days until they finally found him. They must have been frantic. Put yourself in their position. What kind of parents are we anyway they might have thought as they were looking. How could we leave Jerusalem without making sure he was with us? How can we live with ourselves if something happened to him? On the other hand, he knew when we were supposed to leave. We'd given him explicit instructions regarding when we would be leaving and from where. This is just like him to do something like this. He's always striking out on his own, not thinking about the consequences. He never thinks about us and how his actions affect us. When we finally catch up with him, he's going to get a tongue lashing. I have one question that kind of nags me when I think about this story of the adolescent Jesus, the very intelligent, gifted Jesus in the temple. And there's no way of knowing except when we get to ask questions in the next life. When Jesus was confronted by his mother and foster father in the temple, where he obviously isn't remorseful at what he put his parents through, I wonder if he was tempted to, or maybe even did, roll his eyes up into his head when his mother chastised him. You know, that's a very adolescent thing to do. I'm not sure if it's sinful or not. If it's sinful, then he didn't do it. But if it isn't, he might have. That's something to ask in the next life. At any rate, Mary and Joseph finally found Jesus. They were relieved and not a little perturbed. I suspect it wouldn't be the last time that their parenting skills would be tested. We're told that even though he felt he must be in his father's house, he returned with his parents and was obedient to them. Now, this is a good lesson for all of the adolescents in the congregation about how you should behave when you disagree with your parents, when even you think maybe you're right and they're wrong. You should be obedient to them. Of course, I don't know that any of this actually happened, other than the few scant details that St. Luke gives us. What I've done is look at the story from my own perspective of being a parent, having reared two children, neither of which, I hasten to add, is God incarnate. And even though I'm separated from the temple story by 2,000 years, I suspect that there are certain things that are common to parents of any age. I wonder if Mary and Joseph ever ask themselves, am I being a good parent to Jesus? Will he turn out like he should because I've done the right things? Or will he somehow take a wrong turn because of something I did or didn't do? We have an attitude today that parents somehow have the power to determine how their children will turn out. That as the Bible says, as the twig is bent, so grows the branch. And then when our children don't measure up to our expectations, when they make those inevitable mistakes, when they sometimes fall away from the church, parents often blame themselves. It must have been something they did or didn't do. And of course, what we do as parents is very important. It's a vocation from God. And it's crucial that we bring our children up as faithfully as we can. But in the end, each person is different and makes his or her own free choices. As one writer put it, we will parent imperfectly, our children will make their own choices, and God will mysteriously and wondrously use it all to advance his kingdom. When Jesus hung on the cross, I wonder what his mother thought, and if she questioned whether or not she had done something wrong that led Jesus to this horrible end, what looked like a horrible end. Whatever questions she may have had were answered when she saw the risen Lord. In this Christmastide, as we continue to reflect on the meaning of the embodiment of God in Jesus, may we give thanks for the role that Mary and Joseph played in rearing Jesus, and ask God's guidance upon all parents that they may bring their children up to know him, to love him, and to serve him, trusting that how that works itself out is in God's hands. Amen.